I guess we're ready to have Samantha and Don present an overview of the project. Let me back up again. This is an overview of each section as we go through the deliberations document, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning. Don's going to be doing the bulk of the presentation today, but I just wanted to ask that if you have questions as we go along and we need to look back into the record, we may ask for a short break to retrieve those materials because we do not wish to guess at anything. So if there's something we need to retrieve, please just indulge us for a couple minutes. But Don is going to begin, and as Gwen said, go through the notebook in the order that the tabs occur in your notebook, unless you'd rather do it in a different order, which is absolutely fine because he has them as different presentations, so we can jump around if needed.
Anybody have any? I think there was a question there, right?
If you would like the order to be shifted around, given the members' preference.
Okay. Anybody, commissioners, want to change the order that we have? I don't think so. I think we're fine with it as it is.
You already received a, my name is Don Murphy. I'm a LURC project planner for the development permit 4886. And this, today we're, you have the deliberation notebook, which breaks the issues down that we would like you to consider. Go ahead, Scott. I'm not next to the PowerPoint, so. T16, just brief, putting a map in front of you one more time. You can see where we're located. You can also see the proximity to Eastbrook, if you would note that. Next, Scott. Your land use map. The project area, again, you can see T16 over to the go ahead, Kelly already went through the majority of an overview on the project, but I would like to just again say that there's 19 turbines at 1.8 megawatts, 34.2 total, and you're familiar, I think. You have this in your book as well, so I'm going to be brief on some of the details.
Is there any way to make that larger on the screen? Easy way? I don't want to.
This is also right in the
in the notebook, yeah.
I'm sorry. If you go to your very first page of your notebook, you'll see the table of specs, and
right,
that's what we're looking at.
Okay.
It was just, you know, pasted for this. Yeah. What I'll try to do as we go through, everything we're looking at is in the notebook, and I'll keep directing you there, too, so you can see those details. Administrative history, you're already aware of. We're at where we're at. we started with the date accepted for processing, February 2nd, and we had our public hearings May 16th, 17th, and we are beginning the deliberation process. Your notebook is broken down into two sections, really, substantive and other, in terms of the issues. And this has been a, we were directed to and received input from the chair in terms of what issues would be, would have a staff recommendation, such as tangible benefits and stormwater, something that you've had as a process before, And in this case, in the issues of visual, sound, wildlife, and decommissioning, we provide an analysis of the issues and questions that are formed into a decision tree. As I go through the different sections, I'm going to refrain from detail. Having been in the permit, I'm able to address any questions you have about detail, and but I need to restrain and try to focus on the levels of an overview of the basic decisions. So I look for your input as far as detailed questions, or stop going into detail if you don't mind. We're going to go through the book, as Samantha said, in the order. It's there. We put visual and sound first because we understand the commission's schedule. And, Scott, if you'd load up visual. Is this process satisfactory? Yeah. What I was trying to do at the beginning of each section, and we do have, this is the longest section, by the way. Most of the slides are brief. They get briefer as we go toward the end. But visual and sound has the most really to it. And I tried, what the staff has tried to do is present you with where we're headed. And so you can almost start at the back of each section looking at the questions and the analysis. And here the analysis for questions are looking at the ratings for scenic resources of state or national significance, the adequacy of the model assumptions. You heard Lynn speak earlier on vegetative assumptions in the modeling, and we'll get into that a little bit so that's clear. And you have a chance to ask questions on that. The adequacy of the user information involving the user survey, et cetera, which you're directed to keep in mind, and the issue of night lighting. Briefly, just keep in mind what the visible facility components are, and I take this from the narrative in the application. The turbines, obviously, but the turbine strings themselves on the two ridges. Lighting, meteorological towers, and the collection and transmission, O&M facility, and roads. And you've already picked this up earlier in many of the, like the O&M and where the collection and transmission is underground. Some of these are minimized, and you can, the turbines, lighting, towers are the objects. Next cut. The scenic resources, I'm just going to abbreviate that. The scenic resources of state or national significance. The scenic resources, there are 14 in the area. Five would have views. And you've heard about this a little bit already. Donnell Pond, Myrick Lake, Narragansett Lake, Black Mountain, which is also in the Donnell Pond unit, and portions of Tunk Mountain, and we'll get into Tunk as we go along a little bit. These are non-jurisdictional scenic resources. They're in the application, but they're not in your analysis proposed by the staff. And that Schoodick Beach is more than 8 miles from the project turbines. The Eastbrook Church, there's no turbines visible due to vegetation. And portions of Tunk Mountain are on private property, and so we've tried to clarify for you, when we get into Tunk a little bit more, you'll see this. Portions of that are on the TNC private property. And then, so those sections are not SRSNS. I thought I'd start with the lakes. Myrick Lake, and again, I needn't read everything to you. If it has a significant scenic rating. You can see there the lake management ratings 4.6 miles of nearest turbine, up to 6 turbines visible over 12% of the pond. I will, as I go through, make sure we note the distance and that 6 turbines would be visible over 12% of the pond. And the impact ratings is Dewan is low and Palmer. The applicants is Dewan and Palmer is our consultant. They're both low. And, yes.
It has.
I have a question. It's probably best to ask it now. And this is with regard to the impact ratings. During the hearing, through questions initially with Brooke Barnes, and then on to questions with Dr. Jim Palmer, our consultant, and Fred Todd of our staff, I raised some questions here that, and again, seem to be raised by Ms. Williams that I don't see addressed in the document. And these have to do, first of all, it sounds kind of arcane, but I think it's really important. The first has to do with a seeming contradiction in the methodology that LIRC uses in assessing scenic impacts. The classification of these three areas, Donnell Pond, Myrick Pond Lake, depending upon who calls it what, and Narragansett Lake, are determined by the Lakes Management Program, which is Appendix C in the CLUP. Therefore, they have substantial legal standing. I won't scare Amy to death by my interpretation of what that means, but nonetheless, they have substantial standing. Narragansett Lake and Myrick Lake are classified as having significant visual qualities. These are the highest ratings that can be applied by that rating system. The Donnell Pond has an outstanding, which is the second most important classification. Yes, it is. Okay. These were acknowledged by their classifications as being either remote or relatively remote. Therefore, they were accorded the high classification for visual impact, even though there was limited public access. Now, in the evaluation schema that was developed by Dr. Palmer and it was applied by Mr. Dewan, E1 of that standard specifically takes into account the degree of public access or the degree of public use. And I can cite the pages in the terminology. Therefore, the application of Dr. Palmer's classification schema diminishes the impact or the rating because of substantial public access or public use. The two methodologies are in seeming contradiction. And I raised this, and I don't pretend to know which is more appropriate or inappropriate, but there does seem to be a contradiction here. The same is true with regard to the visual assessments of impact on Tunk Mountain and Black Mountain. It indicates in here that part of that, I can give you the references, specific language, where it says, because of limited public access or public use. In addition, as a result of the questions I asked at that time, I said, does this mean that if we allow, based on the Palmer-Dewan assessment, we say there's low visual impact and the project is built, might it not or would it not result in a declassification, a reduced classification of those lakes under the Lake Management Program? It's interesting that Dr. Palmer does say in here that with regard to the visual impact on Myrick Lake, that it may result in a reduced classification of Myrick Pond based on visual impact. So to me, first of all, is this methodological inconsistency. Are we looking at visual impacts as significant even if there isn't a lot of public access, or only if there is major public access? And I think, are we going to be anthropocentric? Or are we going to be ecocentric? The second question is this larger policy question, is that in making this decision, are we inadvertently, without having information on the table before us to make a rational decision, are we changing the classification or possibly changing the classification of a lake under the Lakes Management Program, which is included in Appendix C of the CLAP? I know it sounds, that sounds all very, but I think it's a significant question. And this was a dialogue that was undertaken during that hearing. It was also a dialogue that was undertaken in a more recent hearing. And so I guess what I had hoped here is that there would be, that would have been addressed more. Not, I mean, I thought that Jim Palmer might be here to talk about that. I don't know where we go with that, but I mean, it's just, it's a question that I had and I continue to have. And I guess I'm a little bit, until the couple of questions, okay? Which methodology do we go with? Seems to be a fair and appropriate question to have staff, particularly our consultant, provide us with. The second is, what is will be the impact in terms of the Maine Wildlands Lakes Assessment and the Lakes Management Program on Donnell Pond, on Narragansett Lake, and on Myrick Lake as a result of a decision, a positive decision in this case? So those are sort of two separate questions. And I'm sure you recall this discussion.
Yes, I particularly did when you were talking about lakes and they have low use, yet how do you, you know, and their value is adjusted. Going through the reports, the application and the reports, I also, and staff noted that there were differences in the ratings. The rating systems weren't parallel. They tried to at least touch on each of the points. I relied a lot on the conclusions that, even though the ratings were different, the conclusions from our consultant were there paralleling the Dewan's. And there were, those were also explained. The question of the, and I also want to say that the analysis, the questions in the decision tree and the analysis can be, I would feel, can be added to here. If we can jump, we can jump ahead and try to also put that today into, you know, add that into what is, you'll find at the end of the section, because these are important, and particularly the Wildlands Lakes Assessment, the policy question, I'm going to have to defer to, sure, to staff for more experience,
yeah,
if you don't mind.
Yep. And also, I think the question is, if we went with the methodology of the Wildland Lakes Assessment and removed the criteria from E1, the extent, nature, duration of use, consider the number of users, if we took that out, would it result in a substantially different assessment of both Mr. DeWan and Dr. Palmer? And where we go with that, who knows? But, I mean, those are the questions.
Yes.
I'd like to hear.
I also want to note that a lot about access and development on the ponds, these factor in and end up changing the overall ratings. So in addition to use is these other items that I noticed ended up pulling them the final rating into that line. Samantha, may we address?
So a couple of preliminary things. I may have misheard you, but my understanding of the scenic ratings in the Wildlands Lake Assessment is that outstanding is the most valued. And
significant. Not outstanding. At least it's listed by Dr. Palmer. There is the Wildlands.
Well, let's get a Chapter 10 and check
it. Work plan.
explains in detail the methodology used. I tried in vain to acquire that from both the department, and apparently it's years and years old and just not around me to determine exactly how those ratings were established. But if you look at on that.
Amy, can you look at chapter 10?
If you look at on page 9, that's scenic rating, significant, outstanding, that you do. Significant is the list of outstanding. Maybe actually in terms of kind of maybe reversed, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, we'll have somebody check the chapter 10 while we're talking. And then just logistics, why we don't have Dr. Palmer here. And I think that's been sometimes the case in deliberations before, partially because we have to be really careful about not adding to the record at this point. But we can certainly reconsider that and talk with counsel about whether it's a good idea for the future.
I'm sure you can go back and look at the transcript of the discussion.
Yes.
That initiated with Brooke Barnes, and then I actually... Brooke indicated that that was a little bit beyond, I think, his ken, and I talked to Dr. Palmer about that and also Fred Todd at that hearing.
Okay. As far as, I really thought about the same question as we were going through the deliberation items because it's a really important question. And I guess I think about lakes and ponds that have low use as having different values among those lakes and ponds, or perhaps different reasons why they have low use. So I think there is some inherent inconsistency between the two systems, but so I think it might be helpful to think about each lake and pond that has low use, about what its inherent value is, whether it's remote or not, what its scenic rating is, whether it has other protections, for instance, if it's a Class 6 remote pond, or whether the low use is simply because of lack of public access, but it's near settlements, it has existing development. I guess if we were to say that every lake and pond that has low use has inherent value because it has low use, I think we might run into some inherent inconsistencies
Then shouldn't we throw out Appendix C?
No, I think Appendix C is very valuable.
Appendix C, as I understand, is adopted as it has the force and effect of law.
Right, but there's lots of different components to Appendix C, one of which is accessibility. Development is another component. How many significant, how many outstanding ratings
many
it has.
Many remote ponds.
Right.
Right.
Of which none of these
as
are
remote because of limited or lack of public access.
Yep.
So have the highest rating for scenic value.
There are.
So I'm just I'm just saying. Look, I'm not arguing for one approach to the or the other. Mm-hmm. It seems that you may be. I'm not. I'm just saying there is a method. I mean, we should figure this out. And we should figure it out, not just because, it's a neat little question about with methodology and, does a tree fall into, it falls in the woods, does anybody hear it, that whole deal. It's not that.
Right, I know.
But in this instance, we may be affecting the classification of one or two of these resources without realizing we're doing it. And so, number one... I think it would be interesting. I'd like to hear the staff think about this. Talk to Jim Palmer. Talk to Mr. DeWan, whomever, and say, okay, how are we going to proceed here? And then secondly, what are the implications for the way we proceed in terms of the lake management plan and these classifications? That's all I'd like to know. And it may have no bearing whatsoever on the final decision in this case. But it just seems to me that we've got to, because this also comes up, and is going to continue to come up, it seems to me.
I would encourage that, staff can talk to a number of consultants, but ultimately You know, Jim has expressed his interpretation of the statute, but if it's not the same as yours, we will guide him in
it's
what the
correct
interpretation.
It's not my interpretation of anything. It's no. just that I just note that as a matter of fact, the staff of this department of this agency, along with others involved in the lakes assessment. I mean, the department has two different methodologies it's employing here. It's not me. I don't interpret the statute one way or the other. I just know that there are two different methodologies being applied. One does not take into account, as a matter of fact, seems to value lack of public access. The other one relies on public access. So that's all I'm trying to say. And I just don't know what to do with that.
Can
if
jump
it
in?
Were of no consequence in terms of the classification of these lakes, no big deal. But it appears in Jim Palmer's own statement here. As a matter of fact, I'll
can Amy weigh in on this also?
I think the implications
if
are.
If urban hubs are visible, this may be sufficient to remove the significant scenic quality rating in Maine Wilderness Assessment. And this is for Myrick Pond. I look at that and I say, shouldn't we ask a question about that?
So we've got a couple other commissioners and legal counsel here that want to, I think, weigh in on this. Who wants to go first? I think this is really important. I have a particular appreciation for remote, very remote, almost inaccessible ponds myself. I kind of reacted positively to some of what you said there in this discussion that we've had, and I do think that it is something that we need to flush out a little bit. I do think things are so non-exacting in much that we do, and this the original assessment was done, I don't know how long ago. But I think that to some extent you take it on a case-by-case basis. I mean, obviously, and you carefully word any, if we, you know, come to a decision document that looks at this, I think have to be very careful about what we say. I'm always concerned about precedence. And so I think it is that we need to work on this. But I can see that as something that could come out in some analysis or in a decision document. And I guess I'm going to, I know, Amy, do you want to weigh in on that?
I will, but I guess unfortunately probably from the commissioner's standpoint, what I have to say is basically that this is what you're charged with. This is really, unfortunately, an issue of statutory interpretation that you are charged with in terms of how to apply your statute and your CLUP to a particular project, and your professional staff is certainly here to assist you in that regard, but ultimately it's your call. I say this, and sometimes I get in trouble for saying this, but I'm just a lawyer, and this is not what I do. You guys do.
But let me ask you more specifically, because the reason I wanted your comment was, if we were to interpret this using the DeWan-Palmer methodology that conflicts with the lake classification, are we not getting to the chair's point? Are we not getting into an area where we're making an exception that invalidates and opens the lake classification system to some further proceedings that none of us would like?
Well, it's
or
not.
Or maybe even if we did want it.
As a legal matter, it's not that unusual where you might have varying provisions either in statute or rule or in this case in your CLUP that under some interpretations might appear to be in conflict. The commission has a particular expertise in applying all of them as a package, and it's your job to reconcile what you appear to see as an apparent conflict and to make it come together, and you're entitled to a certain amount of deference in that regard because it is your statute and it is your CLUP and it is your rules, and that's what the commission's charged with doing.
I have no problem with that, Amy. I agree that we that's why we get the big bucks. That's why we're appointed as citizens to make these decisions. And I don't think any of us, we don't like doing that, but we don't shy away from it. The problem I'm having is I don't have enough information. I don't know what the logic is behind the lakes management plan. You know, it seems to be the two different things here, and I'm looking at, all right, there's two different things. I don't know which one to value over what and what the implications of that would be. That's all I'm saying. And I would hope maybe the staff, through, you know, the decision document, could explain that and make a recommendation to some effect. I don't. It isn't that I'm advocating one position or another. I don't know enough about either one to make that determination at this point. That's all I'm saying. And I'm kind of concerned about what Sally's point is. We may be having some implications down the road that we don't even know about. That's all I'm saying.
Right. So I think what you need to do today then is to continue on with your deliberation and go through these scenic issues as best you can based on the record. And you've identified some statutory and interpretation issues here that probably need a little attention.
Right. And they were identified at the hearing.
I would have to look at the transcript.
Yeah,
then.
Well, I encourage you
I'm
to do
taking
so.
Your I'll take your word for it.
So that's on the list of pending issues, I guess.
And
go ahead.
So we found a copy of Chapter 10.
Oh.
In the legend to Appendix C, the list of resource ratings, the order is at from, it's in vertical alignment, and the one listed first is outstanding. The one listed second is significant. Then P is present, and M is missing information. And then there was a plus or minus indicating resource needing further field checking.
I think it might be worth noting at this time, too, Commissioners, that Dr. Palmer did back in, February anyway, maybe even January, he made sure, you'll see he makes references to the Wildlands Lake Assessment, but he was particularly interested in how those ratings came about, and I had assistance from Fred Todd and Samantha in sending him all the older background on this, and I can recall, but I can also look up that he does elaborate on some of this in his complete analysis of the Dewan study. Moving on, right along here then.